It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, it's the anniversary of the Charlie Hebdo attack in Paris. We'll look at the legal approach France is taking to terrorism prevention and whether or not it's working.
First, Governor Walker says he'd like to see Wisconsin's Attorney General to take any and all legal measures available to challenge President Barack Obama's recent executive action on gun sales.
The governor's comments were issued in a press release yesterday, just a day after the president issued a number of executive orders during an emotional speech on Tuesday.
The president will address the American people directly tonight in a televised town hall meeting called Guns in America on CNN live at 7 p.m. tonight.
Joining us now to discuss the president's actions and the move by Governor Walker is Howard Schwaber. He's a political science professor at UW-Madison. Howard, welcome back to the show.
Nice to be here.
Let's look at possible legal lines of attack against the president's executive actions. And the one a lot of people are paying attention to is the one that would expand background checks. One possible challenge, the idea that this violates the Second Amendment, and that's something that maybe a state like Wisconsin could challenge. How would you see that playing out?
Right. So there are really two basic possible challenges here. One, as you say, is that the order, violates the Second Amendment. And the other is that the order doesn't violate the Second Amendment, but it exceeded the president's authority. So two different ways of calling this into question. Let's start with the Second Amendment one. All the federal courts and the U.S. Supreme Court have repeatedly told us that the individual right to bear arms is subject to reasonable regulation. And no one has suggested, I shouldn't say no one, but no court has suggested that background checks in and of themselves are unreasonable and a violation of the Second Amendment. So the idea that extending background checks to a broader range of categories of gun sales would somehow violate that standard seems very hard to support. We always, you know, particularly given the history of the last 10 or 15 years at the Supreme Court, we always have to be on the lookout for surprising new doctrines that we didn't see coming. But it is difficult for me to see how, if background checks are consistent with the Second Amendment in general, how extending them to gun shows or other people engaged in these transactions, how that would somehow become unconstitutional. So I think that's a weak argument. The other problem there is that the state doesn't really have standing to bring it. States don't have constitutional rights. Individuals have constitutional rights. Some individual who's threatened with a prosecution or a fine, that person could have standing to challenge this in court and say, hey, this violates my constitutional rights. But it's very difficult for me to see how the state of Wisconsin gets that standing.
Right. And Howard, before we move on to the other avenue of attack with this Second Amendment issue, I mean, the administration is arguing that, hey, we already have the authority. We already have the directive from Congress in the way the federal government enforces background checks. We're just we're modifying how that's being executed as the executive branch here. Do you think that argument would hold up?
Right. So that gets to the second question. Did this order exceed the president's authority, right? Whether it's constitutional or not, does it exceed the authority granted by Congress? So the law written by Congress is very vague. It permits the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms to impose background checks on people engaged in the business of dealing in guns. The problem is Congress left that term utterly undefined and very, very vague. If you want to think of two sort of ends of the spectrum, one is someone who has a brick-and-mortar gun store and is regularly in the business of selling guns. That person is clearly in the business of selling firearms. The other is, you know, if I want to sell my brother-in-law my shotgun, that doesn't put me in the business of selling guns. But there's a lot of middle ground there, and no clarity at all in the statutory language from Congress as to where the middle ground falls. What if I sell one gun a month, every month for 10 years? Or some other combination of things. What if I run a business out of my basement but don't have a separate store for it? And, of course, gun shows. So as long as Congress leaves those terms that vague, it has been traditionally understood, and courts have repeatedly stated, that it is indeed up to the law enforcement branch, the executive branch, to determine the meaning of those terms and decide how these things will be enforced. This is much less complicated, for example, than a year ago when Obama made the orders about immigration and enforcement immigration law. There, the executive orders that Obama created did multiple things, including not only establishing certain discretion in the enforcement of the law, but also distribution of benefits and a lot of other things. That was a really complicated set of rules that arguably altered or even contravened the law as it existed. Arguably, I say it's before the courts right now. This one is much simpler. Congress left this very, very vague, and when the legislature leaves law enforcement terms vague, it's up to law enforcement to determine what they mean. It's a little bit like when Wyoming and Montana, I think, experimented with not having speed limits. that instead said police can stop you if you're driving in a way they think is unreasonable. If you write a rule that vague, then you're leaving it to the cops, in this case the ATF, to determine what the rule means. The other point there is that, of course, Congress could change this tomorrow. Congress absolutely has the power to clarify that rule, and if Congress were to do so, the president would not have the authority to alter those rules by executive order. So all of this is taking place against a curious combination of a legal giant empty spot that Congress has deliberately left and a political highly contested issue. This gives the ability for both sides to scream foul on political grounds without any necessary real strong legal analysis behind it.
Talking to Howard Schwaber, political science professor at UW-Madison, about the Obama administration's actions on gun control, the executive action on gun control earlier this week. Governor Walker asking the state's attorney general to review that, see if there are avenues for legal challenge from Wisconsin. On that wider issue of states challenging the federal government, I mean, there have been arguments over legal power between states and the federal government, I know, probably since day one. Has this gotten more common, especially where executive action are concerned in the Obama administration?
Well, it's gotten more common in the last, 15 years or so, or maybe 20 years by now, because of a very conscious and successful effort to train cadres of conservative lawyers to bring federalist challenges to federal authority to try and roll back some of the expansion of federal authority that we saw in the 60s and 70s and 80s. That's not surprising. In this case, though, I have not, at least so far, heard anyone suggest that the ATF is unconstitutional or that the federal law in general is unconstitutional. And as I say, whether it's on federalism grounds or Second Amendment grounds, if you want to challenge the constitutionality of the executive order, it would seem to me you'd have to challenge the constitutionality of the entire law. That is, if the federal government is intruding on state prerogatives by requiring background checks for firearm sales, that's true regardless of whether it takes place in a store or at a gun show or in my basement. You know, that distinction doesn't seem to make a big difference for federalism purposes, except insofar as you can make a sort of a Commerce Clause argument that says the sale of the gun from my basement doesn't affect commerce enough to fall within federal authority. So the answer is there is room for a challenge, but until there are actual cases and people who've been directly affected by the application of this executive order, it's difficult to see how that challenge will be made concrete.
So with the immigration law, states had more standing, it sounds like. States were more directly affected in terms of providing benefits, that sort of thing. In this case, it sounds like you're saying it's more likely that some gun seller who's required under this new executive action to get a federal firearm license, they would be the one who would be more likely to have a case that would move up through the courts.
Absolutely. The rules provide quite draconian penalties, fines of $250,000. For engaging in the business of selling guns without conducting the proper background checks. Someone gets hit with that fine, that person absolutely has standing to challenge us on all the grounds that we've been talking about. By comparison, the immigration order or the challenge to the Affordable Care Act, those are instances where states could say, look, this federal government action is imposing costs on us, forcing us to spend money in ways that we don't want to spend money, or interfering with our ability to pursue policies that we want to pursue. That's what gives us standing. In this case, it's just a straight regulatory authority question. Does the federal government have the authority to regulate this particular activity? And the difficulty with Governor Walker's position, or implied position here, I take it, that this violates federalism is that that argument should apply just as well to the entirety of the federal law, not just to these executive orders. Unless you can make a distinction on cases, and that's the sort of the distinction that would be raised when a particular person is hit with a fine and says, no, regulating my activities goes too far.
Well, we'll watch for that to happen. Howard, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I think it's guaranteed that will happen. Okay. Thank you for having me.
That's Howard Schwaber, political science professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, talking about a possible challenge by Wisconsin's attorney general to President Barack Obama's recent executive action on gun sales.